Hello, and thank you for joining us for today's telephone town hall. We're discussing electric deregulation and why it's not the right choice for Michigan. My name is Jessica, and I work with the Alliance for Michigan Power, or AMP. AMP is a coalition of Michiganders who believe smart energy policies are vital to our quality of life, and we're working together to ensure that our state's prepared to meet Michigan's energy needs today, tomorrow, and in the future. We're here today to talk about electric deregulation and HB 5184. This bill, which was introduced in the state legislature by Representative Mark Shirkey, would fully deregulate Michigan's electricity market. Lawmakers in Lansing will be holding hearings on March 18th and the 25th, and we believe it's important for everyone in Michigan to know just how much this legislation could affect our economic recovery and the ability and affordability of our energy for decades to come. Now, I'd like to briefly introduce three special guests. From Public Sector Consultants, a leading Lansing think tank, we have former Michigan Senate Majority Leader Ken Sikkema. We'll also be hearing from Jason Geer, Director of Energy and Environmental Policy for the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. And last but certainly not least, we're joined by Patrick Shorty Gleason, Legislative Director and past President of the Michigan Building and Construction Trades Council. Each of them will be discussing the legislation in greater depth and offering perspectives on what it could mean for Michigan's jobs, communities, and economy. At the end of their presentations, we'll have a short Q&A session where they will answer some questions from those of you who have joined us today on the phone. At any time during the call, if you want to ask a question, simply press *3. You'll be directed to a live operator waiting to take your question. We'll take you out of the call for just a moment while our operator takes your question on a separate line. And then after you've spoken to our operator, you'll be redirected into the teletown hall so you don't miss anything. At the end of the call, we'll respond to as many questions as we can in the time available. In addition, during the call, we'll be asking you to participate in a few short polls. When the time comes, we'll give you the question and instructions on how to provide your answer using the touchtone keypad on your phone. We'll share the results of each quick poll on the call today, and this just gives you an opportunity to let us know your opinions. So without further delay, I'd like to introduce former Michigan Senate Majority Leader Ken Sikkema to give us some greater context on how deregulation has failed to deliver the promised results in other states where it's been tried. Ken?
Thanks, Jessica, for including me in this telephone town hall. And I also want to thank everyone who was on the line with us and taking the time to learn more about this issue of electric deregulation and the problems that will be caused here in Michigan if House Bill 5184 were to pass. This idea has actually been tried in a few other states, and it just hasn't worked out very well, and so it's good for all of us to be well informed about it. So let me start by saying or asking, you know, what is this electric deregulation all about? When you hear someone say that this bill, House Bill 5184, will deregulate the electric industry, what exactly does that mean? This is sometimes referred to as electric choice. The idea is that government would give customers, homeowners, as well as businesses, the option to purchase their electricity not from their local utility that we're used to, but from a selection of competing energy retailers. These retailers would generally not produce their own power, but they'd buy it from wholesale electricity providers, including out-of-state producers. The interests that are pushing this idea want people to think it's like buying clothing from a department store or even online. The store provides you clothing at retail prices, and this clothing they purchase from wholesale clothing manufacturers. Competition among the various stores keeps the price you pay lower than if you had to purchase all your clothing from a single store. Now, generally, we all like the sound of the word choice because we usually benefit from competition. But the reality is that there are some fundamental differences between buying something like clothes and buying electric power for our homes, our businesses, and our factories. First of all, the power for our homes and our businesses need to be there all the time, 24/7. We rely on it to keep us warm, to cool us down, to keep the lights on, and to keep our businesses running all the time. You might not go to the department store every day, but you need electricity every day. A second big difference is that electricity and power has to be there instantaneously when we switch the switch. And that means whenever we flick the switch. And power has to be affordable. It's a necessity, after all, and there needs to be some oversight to guarantee that rates are appropriate. Most people, by the way, also don't like wild changes in their bill from month to month. And finally, let me just say there are some real benefits to having power here close to home in Michigan, not the least of which are the jobs that go with it, and I'm sure that Jason and particularly Shorty are going to talk about that as well. Now, at the beginning, I mentioned that some other states have tried this idea of deregulation that House Bill 5184 would bring to Michigan, and that it hasn't worked very well. Let me very quickly give a couple of examples. Let's start with Montana. In Montana, the governor and the legislature quickly jumped on this deregulation bandwagon, which is what it was back in the late 1990s, in the case of Montana, 1997. But what happened was that prices quickly went up, the competition that was promised never materialized. Some companies in Montana actually had to close operations for a while because they literally couldn't afford the price of power. In addition, two utilities went bankrupt, and with it, of course, was the loss of jobs, the loss of investments, and the loss of pensions. And the reality is a lot of people got hurt in Montana because of legislation like House Bill 5184. Montana, by the way, finally had to repeal deregulation, and it's just now returning to some stability in terms of electricity. Another state I have to mention is the state of Texas, because Texas also passed a bill like House Bill 5184 in the late 1990s. And their experiment with deregulation provides a couple of valuable lessons for us here in Michigan. Some parts of Texas actually were exempt from their deregulation law, and what's happened is that rates and prices have consistently been lower in those parts of Texas than rates and prices in the deregulated parts of Texas. They were lower at the beginning, they've been lower ever since, and they're still lower. The other problem in Texas is that they simply don't have enough supply to eliminate the worry of the power to your home of literally going on and off on certain days. Now, we call this rolling brownouts, and they occur because under deregulation, existing power plants tend to get bought and sold by investors over time, but no one is willing to invest the billions of dollars required to build new plants that might become necessary. And finally, let me, I want to quickly mention a couple of states on the East Coast, New Jersey and Connecticut. These two states have been in the news lately with some pretty disastrous results in their experiment with electric deregulation. Prices this winter have risen sharply in those states. Average homeowners, like most of us are reporting price cases of price gouging and coercion from their new energy retailers. And this happens because in a deregulated state, which is what House Bill 5184 would bring here to Michigan, out-of-state energy providers are not subject to the same kinds of regulation and government oversight that utilities traditionally are. And that's, after all, that's basically what it means to be deregulated. I don't want to give the impression that most states have deregulated. It's actually quite the opposite. The vast majority of states have decided not to pass bills like 5184, and even some that did, like Montana, have been forced to change their minds because of the problems that of price hikes, these rolling brownouts, and job losses. But I think this is kind of a good place for me to stop, Jessica. I appreciate being part of this conversation and look forward to our discussion today.
Thanks so much, Ken. We really appreciate your in-depth look on how electric deregulation has played out in other states and what its impact could be in Michigan. We're going to take a quick pause from our panelists here for our first poll. Given what you've just heard about the consequences in other states, do you think Michigan should expand electric deregulation in our state? If your answer is no, please press 1 on your keypad right now. And if your answer is yes, please press 2. And remember, if you have a question for our guest speakers, you can press star 3 at any time to speak with one of our live operators and rejoin the Teletown Hall as soon as you've finished. So as you guys go ahead and answer our first poll question, I'd like to introduce our second guest speaker, Director of Energy and Environmental Policy for the Michigan Chamber of Commerce, Jason Geer. Jason?
Thanks, Jessica, and I want to thank AMP for the opportunity to talk a little bit about House Bill 5184 today. Ken talked a lot about what's happening in other states and kind of the scenarios that are playing out there related to deregulation. I'm going to talk a little bit about the impact of Michigan's policy on job providers here. The Michigan Chamber, our members, job providers in the state, they have three key focuses when they're looking at energy policy: affordability, reliability, and certainty. They want to know that when they flip the switch, the power is going to be on. They want to know it's going to be accessible. That when they come to work every morning or every night, that's going to be there serving them so they can serve their customers. So, you know, whenever we look at energy policy, we look at it from those three perspectives. At one time, the chamber was supportive of deregulation in the early 2000s, but as that played out in the state, we didn't see the benefits that we had anticipated. And over time, we came to realize that that was not the right direction for the state to head in. So as the 2008 law came together, the chamber got very engaged in that and obviously supported in the end and supported its passage. And one of the key pieces of that legislation that really garnered the chamber's support was cost of service. This is a critical issue. That comes down to affordability, reliability, certainty. All these things are kind of baked into that. One of the key reasons this is important to us is because we weren't seeing power plant being built during the 2000s, early 2000s. We weren't seeing the investment in long-term policy decisions. We weren't seeing the reliability built into place that we were hoping to see. And the 2008 law brought that, brought it around. We turned the corner on that, and we're moving in a better direction. Our holistic policy change there of a more regulated model has pushed investment in the state, has increased reliability, and obviously, access to cost of service rates is critical for our members, because when we were deregulated, we were seeing a lot of different subsidies getting baked into for the various groups, whether they be business or outside of business. And that obviously is going to raise the cost of electricity for everyone. So when we asked our members what's most important to you, they say affordability, obviously. And when you look at deregulation, what you're seeing is a whole bunch of different subsidies baked into that. So that doesn't create a lot of certainty and affordability and reliability for our members. So when we looked at the 2008 law, we viewed it as a great step in the right direction for Michigan's policy to create, focus on those three issues. It's simple to look at other states and kind of compare, but it's never an apples-to-apples comparison. But I think one thing that we can do is look at a state like Indiana, which is very close to Michigan. Indiana is a fully regulated state, has been for quite some time. They continue to experience the lowest energy prices in the Great Lakes region. And that's for a reason, because they decided to put in place long ago a policy that focused on those three key issues. And that's continued to be the case for years. And so when we look at energy policy, when we were looking in 2008, we look at states like Indiana that are demonstrating year over year that long-term policy planning and not deregulating can very much benefit the business community, which is why we're always in tight competition for them for jobs. When we focus on energy policy, we're looking at states that have demonstrated the right path, that have a long-term balanced policy. And so obviously that is one of those states. And Ken talked a lot about kind of the bad experience with deregulation. We don't want to see Michigan go down that road. We're really focused on what is the best foot forward for Michigan job providers. And in our opinion, deregulation is not. It's very dangerous for the future of jobs here in the state, and we want to see the state continue on the path of the 2008 law and improving that. And with that, I'll hand it back to you, Jessica.
Thanks very much, Jason. I want to take a minute and update everyone on the results of our first poll. 90% of you said that Michigan should not expand electric deregulation in the state, while 10% of you believe that Michigan should expand electric deregulation in the state. Thank you, everybody, for participating in that poll. We'll have a second one coming up shortly. Just one more reminder that if you'd like to ask a question of our guest speakers today, you can press star 3 to speak with one of our live operators and then rejoin the Teletown Hall. Before we open the floor to questions, though, we have one more guest. Please welcome Patrick Shorty Gleason, Legislative Director for and past President of the Michigan Building and Construction Trades Council.
Thank you, Jessica, and thanks to everyone on this call today. Just by learning more, you're taking a big step in securing a brighter future for Michigan. We all need to be more involved in discussions about the energy issues that affect our citizens. Jason and Ken have done a great job explaining how Michigan energy customers would be harmed by electric deregulation. I want to focus on one more group that stands to lose out if out-of-state energy retailers win, and that would be Michigan workers. Local energy providers support tens of thousands of much-needed jobs across Michigan. These jobs are held by highly skilled Michiganders, our friends, our family, our neighbors. Remember the case that Ken referred to in Montana? The electric company there had to sell off its assets. It's also had to eliminate many, many jobs across the state. If we send our electric power business out of the state, we end up supporting jobs in other states rather than jobs right here in Michigan. Our current regulatory structure ensures local hometown energy providers like DTE Energy or Consumers Energy are able to make investments that support existing local jobs and create new ones, including jobs involving new energy technologies and renewable energy. In addition, as Jason mentioned, reliable, affordable energy is critical to a positive business climate for other industries and small businesses. If energy becomes less reliable and prices become unpredictable, all of our local businesses will find it more difficult to create and support well-paying jobs. State law shouldn't undermine our local energy providers or local businesses. We need our legislatures to support local energy produced by Michiganders for Michiganders in order to continue encouraging local job growth and local investment. And Jessica, thank you for the opportunity to state the position of the Michigan Building Trades. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Patrick, and a big thank you to all of our speakers. In just a few moments, we're going to begin taking questions from folks on the phone. So please remember, if you want to ask a question, press star 3. This is open to anyone, and one of our operators will take your question. This is one of the advantages of the Teletown Hall. While we want you to have the opportunity to learn more, we also want you to have the opportunity to ask questions of our panelists. And we'll get to as many questions as we can in the time remaining. So before we start our Q&A, however, we invite you to participate in one final quick poll. So when it comes to electric deregulation in Michigan, what is your biggest concern? We have a variety of answers, so please listen closely. Please press 1 if you're most concerned about Michigan's job and economy. Please press 2 if you're worried about price increases. Press 3 if you're concerned about out-of-state energy retailers taking advantage of Michiganders. Or press 4 if you're concerned about deregulation's impact on Michigan's energy future. Again, that's 1 for Michigan jobs and economy, 2 for price increases, 3 for out-of-state energy retailers, 4 for the deregulation impact on Michigan's energy future. Okay, as you guys answer that, let's jump into answering some of your questions. So one, bear with me here as we pull up a couple of these questions that we've gotten from individuals on the line. And again, if you have any questions, please feel free to press star 3 at any time to have your questions screened and sent through to us. So one of the questions that we have received is related to the how electric deregulation will help lower energy prices for electricity and if it will lower energy prices for electricity. Let's see. Of our panelists, Jason, if you wouldn't mind taking that on, I know you spoke a little bit about the price impact of deregulation, but if you could expand on that a little bit and whether it would actually help lower prices for electricity within the state of Michigan.
Sure. You know, the Chamber, we've obviously looked at this in depth for a long time, and we continue to have discussions about energy policy. We don't see a benefit to deregulation for the state. You know, I pointed to Indiana as a great example of that, continuing to have the lowest rates in the Midwest as a fully regulated state, and we see deregulated states struggling to maintain generation capacity, to keep capacity in their states, and you know, endless reliability issues when you look at those states. They don't have a plan for keeping everything moving forward. You know, when you're kind of living it day to day, week to week, on how you're going to supply power and keep your costs lower and competing with your neighbor, it doesn't create the right positive environment for growth. And so at the Chamber, we don't believe that there would be cost reductions associated with electric deregulation or electric choice. We just think that what would happen is certain companies would get cherry-picked by these out-of-state energy providers, and that ultimately the smaller and medium-sized businesses would see higher rates that would force them to subsidize those companies. We've seen that in other states. We've seen that in Michigan in the past. And so we don't believe that that's a positive for the state as a whole. Clearly, maintaining jobs in Michigan are key for our job providers. But when you look at, for instance, our energy providers, Shorty talked a little bit about this. There's a lot of jobs associated with that. And if we were to deregulate the state, we could see a situation where we start bringing in more power from outside the state than we generate here. And so that's a lot of jobs. That's a lot of tax revenue that goes to schools. And a lot of other places. And so we want to maintain our hometown utilities because that gives us access to make sure that when we have a bad storm or something, that the lights get turned back on quickly. I mean, if you forfeit control of your energy policy by sending it to an out-of-state energy provider, then you're losing control over how you're going to maintain that over the years. And so electric deregulation on so many fronts is just bad. Because, again, it challenges reliability, it eliminates local jobs related to energy generation, eliminates jobs related to, obviously, job providers and general business, because our members are going to, you know, be in a position where they're going to look to neighboring states like Indiana and say, well, if we move there, we have certainty, we have reliability, and we have the affordability that we need. That is not a good road for us to go down if we head towards deregulation.
Thanks, Jason. And Ken, I know from your perspective, you had shared some pricing information as well. Did you have anything you wanted to add to Jason's response?
Sure. At Public Sector Consultants, we've studied this issue of rates for quite some time. And the fact of the matter is the states that have deregulated, there are about a dozen in the country, their rates are about 25% higher than states that have maintained the traditional electric regulation model. And I think that tells you right there that the promised rate reductions don't occur. And just a couple of examples, Jessica. New Jersey, which started down this path about 15 years ago, had the six highest rates in the country. They were promised that rates would go down. Well, they still have the six highest rates in the country. And Montana, a state that I mentioned earlier, Montana, before deregulation in their region, they were pretty competitive. They didn't have the highest rates, but they didn't have the lowest rates either. They were kind of in the middle. And then after deregulation, they had the highest rates in their region. So the states, again, that have deregulated have rates about 25% higher than the rest of us.
Great. And to spin off of that, we'll kind of one of the questions that we've been receiving since Patrick spoke so eloquently about the jobs is what impact those rates have on the local jobs.
Well, thank you, Jessica. And I think that that's a very, very important issue to dwell on today. As you know, the work opportunity in the state of Michigan has been in decline for several years now. And we're trying to do everything that we can just to retain jobs and also work on job opportunities. And I just want to talk a little bit about, if I may for a second, between consumers and DTE Energy right now, as we speak, between the Ludington Pumping Station, Karn Weedock, and the Camo plants for consumers, as well as DTE Energy, Bell River, Fermi 2, and Monroe. I can safely say today that if this state was to go deregulated, right now, between the ongoing work at the facilities I just mentioned, it would be right close to 4,000 immediate jobs that would be lost in the construction industry. And there's another part of the construction industry that obviously involves a lot of Jason's members through the chamber, And we've all seen the ads of Pure Michigan. I don't believe there's two corporations in the state that believe in Pure Michigan more than consumers and DTE. Right now, over the last 5 years, these two companies have spent $1.5 billion in Michigan-based companies to do the work that I just mentioned. Now, what does that involve? For example, all your steel fabricators, your mechanical suppliers, your electrical suppliers, and all the industries that are involved in keeping these powerhouses up and running. So, Jason, can you imagine if you just take $1.5 billion out of Michigan's economy now that has been spent over the last 5 years, not to mention the loss of another 4,000 jobs here in the state of Michigan, as well as the large contractor base that both these companies use on a daily basis. These are Michigan-based companies, Michigan-based businesses, and they hire Michigan residents to perform all the work at these power facilities. It would be absolutely devastating and a huge step back for the state of Michigan to lose its entire industry that we desperately need to not only retain the jobs, but to look at job growth here in the state of Michigan.
Great, thank you. So we're actually going to go to a live caller now. Hi. Howard from Monroe, are you on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Howard. Would you like to ask your question to our panelist team?
Yes, my question is, has any of these states that have voted in deregulation have actually reversed that decision through their legislation?
Thank you, Howard. Ken, I'm going to hand it over to you at this point, since you're our expert there on the legislative end of things.
Well, I hesitate to be called an expert, but there's actually seven states in the country that in the late 1990s deregulated, that then their experience, like Montana, and Montana's one of them, just finally threw in the towel and decided to go back to more traditional regulation of utilities. I don't, off the top of my head, I know Montana was one. I know Arkansas was one. I know that Virginia was one. I think California is one. And then there are three others. But and I think even some of the states that didn't completely reverse course, I think a lot of policymakers in those states kind of wish they could. Once you go down that path, it's really tough to kind of put the genie back in the bottle. Montana is probably the best or the most successful state to completely reverse course. But one of the dangers of going down that path is it's difficult. It's really been challenging to go back. But seven states have.
Okay, and to tag on to that, we're going to take one more live caller. Teresa, are you with us?
Yes.
Teresa, you had a question for our panel as well?
Yeah, just in fairness for the discussion, are there any states where this deregulated model actually worked?
Thank you, Teresa. Ken, since you followed up on that first one, I'm going to give this one to you again. It's an opportunity. Have we seen deregulation work in any states?
Well, my answer is no, because I think you go back to what's the fundamental reason these states wanted to deregulate in the first place, and that was to lower rates. And it hasn't happened. As I said, on average, the states that deregulated, their rates are 25% higher than the rest of the states. And you look at a couple of examples, again, like New Jersey and like Montana, that they either haven't budged on their rates, or in the case of Montana, they're now the highest in the region. And the other problem with deregulation, and the reason I say no, it hasn't worked, is that it's one of those situations where after they do it, problems come up, and then they try to solve that problem, and the solution creates another set of problems, and they try to solve those problems, and you keep creating problem after problem after problem, and they just can't get it right. And like those seven states that reversed course, they gave up, understanding they could never get it right.
Thank you, Ken. I think we're going to be taking one last question, and this has come in through a couple of individuals. During our conversation today, we've been talking about what the legislature is considering doing, and one of the questions that we've heard is whether the legislators actually listen to the residents of Michigan, and if it makes a difference if the individuals on the phone get involved in the debate over deregulation. You know, it's one thing for us to educate over the call, but what impact can our supporters have? So, Patrick, I'm going to ask you to take that first since you are out in the field and working with those individuals who are constantly making their voices heard.
Well, thank you, Jessica. I think that's, first of all, I want to thank the caller as well for raising that question. That's probably what is needed here more than anything else, is throughout the state of Michigan, we need to get everybody involved in this discussion, and please, please contact your state reps and your state senators on your position on deregulation here, because it will be a step backwards. And I do believe elected officials listen to their constituents, and I think that's probably the most important thing that can be said today, is that you need to contact your state representatives and your state senators and say that House Bill 5184 would not move Michigan forward.
Thank you, Patrick, and thank you again to all of our panelists. Unfortunately, that's all the time that we have for questions today. We want to make sure that we don't take up everyone's afternoon. But thank you again to everyone for joining us today to discuss electric deregulation and House Bill 5184. I wanted to share the answers to our second quick poll. According to the poll results, it appears that the impact on Michigan's energy future is currently the most important concern when it comes to electric deregulation, followed quickly by Michigan's jobs and energy, price increases, and then out-of-state energy retailers taking advantage of Michiganders. Now that you've learned more, to Patrick's point, we really hope that you'll get involved. If you haven't already, please join the Alliance for Michigan Power today by visiting our website. It's quick and easy. The website address is www.allianceformichiganpower.com. Again, that's www.allianceformichiganpower.com. You can learn more about deregulation on the website and also send emails to your state legislators right from the site itself. Quick and easy. We'll also keep you updated on what's happening with deregulation and other energy issues throughout Michigan and help you take action for a brighter energy and economic future for the state. We also encourage you to tune in to our Facebook and Twitter feeds on March 18th and 25th for updates from the electric deregulation hearings in Lansing. We will be there on the front lines reporting back to you all to keep you as up to date as possible without you having to tune in. So if you're already an AMP member, please help us spread the word to your friends and neighbors, because these issues affect us all. If you aren't, again, we encourage you to join today. Thank you again, and have a great day.